You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Hey Google, stop. All right, here we go again. I've said that before. Here we go again. You would think that I was going to break into a White Snake song, but I'm not going to. So, what am I going to do on a Wednesday night at 8:45 p.m.? Plug my computer in and try to do a podcast. I should be watching TV and getting ready for bed, shouldn't I? Why am I recording? Good question. I don't know. But let's do this anyway, okay? We're here. You're here. I'm here. Let's make the most of it. Let's see. Where did I leave things off? Last time I was talking, preamble conversation to the Essential Movie Podcast as I was going through my European trip. So I hadn't wrapped that up quite yet. I think I talked about London, and my game plan was to talk about the hotels and then talk about Amsterdam. I don't plan to really talk about kind of like the actual business side of things, because I mean that was kind of unique to our work situation, so I don't think it really applies to something that would be fun for you to listen to. You'd have to be a little bit more fluent with the industry that I work for in order to really kind of dive into that, and I don't know if it'll sound interesting. It does to me because I'm invested into the business, but for you it'd be like maybe a snooze fest. Hopefully the podcast that I'm putting out isn't a snooze fest anyway. So I don't want to have this incredible build up for Amsterdam, to make you think that some wild partying was happening on, but that was just kind of like the last night there. So that's why I'm saving it for last. What I'm thinking on this particular conversation, by the way, is it really a conversation if it's just me? Wouldn't it be considered a monologue? I don't know. Anyway, so what I was going to share was to give you a little more in-depth information about the hotels that we stayed in. And let me tell you the timeline. I'll clarify the timeline as far as the way the trip goes. As I said, we flew into London. We stayed the day walking around London, and then we took a train to Ely, which was close to where the office was. So we stayed there one night. We left Ely, and we took went to the office the following day, stayed there, and then we flew to Amsterdam. From Amsterdam, we took a taxi to Rotterdam. And Rotterdam was close to the office. We stayed there two nights in Rotterdam. And then after being in the office for 2 days, then we went to Amsterdam, the Amsterdam hotel right at the airport. So over the course of the time over there, I stayed in three different hotels. Each one of them, very different, unique experiences. So first off, Ely was a country inn. It felt very quaint. It was kind of like a converted farmhouse with apartment buildings of sorts that were converted into hotel rooms. More or less like apartments, maybe small apartments, but it was the way it was laid out. It was kind of like subdued into the countryside. Very beautiful, very cool. What was really awesome about it was, after being very tired from staying at the on the plane all night, and then walking around London all day, of course you just get really fatigued and tired. And they had this big brass bathtub, and you could just submerge yourself in it. Think of it like, you know, if you were a monarch and you would have somebody be drawing your bath as you were just laying there and completely immersed into it. That's what each one of these rooms had, was one of those big brass bathtubs. And it was separate from the showers. So shortly after getting there, one of the people that I was traveling with, she had went right to the hotel, so she didn't want to go walking around London. So she had stayed there, had dinner, and kind of a nice relaxing thing, just reading her book on her Kindle. And while we were walking around London, me and my other coworker. And so when we get there, you know, she had already kind of relaxed. So we both had a late dinner. And then once we did that, then, you know, we went to our rooms. And me, I had to take advantage of that big tub. So I you know, got into that and just kind of soaked, and it really just kind of rejuvenated the, you know, the tired bones of, you know, being up all night and then walking around London all day. So it was actually perfect before going to bed, because it made me even more tired and I slept great. Before I fell asleep, I did find on the TV that they had a, I want to say it was 1984 music videos for just American pop songs. And, well, actually it was UK also. But it was just them playing a plethora of 1984. I believe it was 84. It was either 84 or 85. Maybe 84. And I just loved it. I just absolutely loved kind of watching that as I was dozing off. So fast forward, you know, to our next hotel, which was in Rotterdam. Rotterdam was right there on the river that they had. And it was very modern and what I would consider, yeah, just very modern. I don't want to say it was European, because it wasn't. It was very big for the room. And the three of us that were traveling together, we all had the corner rooms that had like two windows that were facing out onto this river that had a big iconic bridge that was lit up. And you could see the cityscape. So my boss's boss, she was on room 1010. My boss was at 910. I was at 810. So we all had that corner, but just on different floors, which is really kind of cool, because we all were able to talk about that particular view in the morning, you know, when we were having breakfast. What I loved also about the room is they had a built-in sauna. I did try the sauna feature, but I'm more of a steam room kind of a guy, so it really didn't do much for me. But at least, you know, I had the, you know, I turned it on, sat in it for a little bit, put a little bit of the, they give you like eucalyptus to put on the rocks, to make the smell really great. So that was really cool. What I really enjoyed, it was, when I was in Rotterdam, was that I would walk around, in the evening time, after we had gotten back to the hotel. So I was really kind of enjoying just kind of taking in the sights and enjoying, you know, alone time, you know, to just kind of explore. What was kind of surreal for me was that was also the time when our 1984 New Wave podcast episode came out, and I was actually listening to it on my earbuds as I was walking around Rotterdam. Had kind of a surreal experience that I talked a little bit about when... I believe it was on the 1988 New Wave episode. I'll talk a little bit more about that experience. So when we get to that episode, you'll hear me talk about that a little bit if we include it. But basically, I was just really thought it was cool that, you know, I wasn't far from where a lot of the New Wave UK stuff started, and I'm sitting listening to us talking about it and the snippets that Scott edited in. You know, it was just kind of really kind of a cool moment. So Rotterdam hotel, awesome. The other thing that we had, was, you know, the hotel buffet breakfast. I'm currently missing since I've come back to the States. I haven't had this, but they included, on their buffet was smoked salmon. So you can put smoked salmon, and with, they have the scrambled eggs that they make like in mass, you know, for, you know, the breakfast buffet, along with bacon and ham and all that other good stuff, and a whole bunch of cheeses, yogurt, yada, yada, yada. Really fancy, nice buffet breakfast. But that smoked salmon, I had almost every breakfast while I was there. And I miss not having that now. So I want to go back for the smoked salmon and the really great tasting coffee, because they had coffee machines that were off the hook. Loved the coffee over there. So here we are. Leave Rotterdam. Now we're in Amsterdam. The final leg. The hotel at the airport was crazy. Absolutely insane. It was built for just giving you a box to sleep in before you headed out, or you were, I guess they really didn't plan for you to be in the room a lot. I mean, the room is just the economy of space. But what's really cool about it is it's so friggin' modern and automated. They have an iPad where you can control every aspect of the room, the blinds, mood lighting. You can change different mood lighting from party to romance to business to movie time. It's insane. So it was really, really kind of cool how modern it was. And actually, you know, it wasn't uncomfortable, but it was the economy for space. And I just, it's tough to describe, but if you ever look up the hotel, it's called Citizen M. At the Amsterdam airport, I'd recommend just looking at the rooms because they're just crazy, insane small. Here's a fun little thing that happened to me. They have this situation where on the iPad you can set your clock, or set like a wake up on the iPad. And normally I've gotten out of the habit of using my phone for an alarm because of a past work experience that went bad. And that'd take too long to tell you right now. But the experience that I had was just, you know, I was like, okay, I slept through the alarm, and it really almost cost me to lose a flight because I had overslept. Thank God I was traveling with somebody who woke me up, but that's more detail than you need right now. But anyway, since I don't trust that, I've always relied on wake-up calls. I didn't really see a clean way of doing that in the room in Amsterdam, but they had this feature on the iPad that said wake up. So I thought, let me give it a shot. And then you set the time on the iPad, but then you get to choose what severity level of wake up you want. Since I have this trust factor, you know, for like this, you know, this iPad device to wake me up, I chose the next to the most extreme. So it was like one level down from the most extreme. So I set the alarm 7 o'clock. I fall asleep. 7 o'clock in the morning, every light comes on in the room and the TV is going wah, 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 wah. I'm like, that is crazy. So I, you know, of course it woke me up immediately, but I'm like, I'm now wondering what the most extreme setting was going to be. So I guess if I ever go back, I'm going to probably try a more subdued setting where it's like waking you up gradually. I'll think I'll need to do that, but I'm very, very curious as to what the most extreme setting is going to do for you. I mean, is it going to like push you out of the bed somehow, like automatically? I have no idea. So anyway, I've gone on way too long. You're tuning in for our Essential Movie podcast episode. Let me insert the bumper here.
This is 80-something podcast.
Banzai! Banzai! Banzai!
Hey, where's the meat? I don't think there's anybody back there.
You or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals. Go Ghostbusters! Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you!
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Be it to each other. And party on, dudes!
Hey Retro Clubbers, this is Dave. Thank you for tuning in to Banzai Retro Club, and I appreciate you for listening. What I do at the beginning of these is, well, first off, I give you a little backstory. I found this list on RottenTomatoes.com. The editorial staff looked at the movies of the 1980s and said, these are our 140 most essential 1980s movies. What I've been doing is I've been counting down from 140 to number 1. Right now I'm at number 96. You would have clicked on the title of the episode, so you would have known I'm talking Flight of the Navigator 1986. What I normally do at this point is I insert the trailer.
When you're just growing up, every day is a new discovery. But nothing David Freeman has ever experienced will prepare him for the adventure that lies ahead.
Sit down.
I think there's been some sort of mistake.
Your brain contains data necessary to get me and my friends home.
I'm just a kid.
You are the Navigator.
Walt Disney Pictures presents a new adventure fantasy.
What are you doing?
Above and beyond the ordinary.
Take me back.
Okay.
Oh, no!
Flight of the Navigator.
Do something!
You're the Navigator, not me.
20,000 feet and falling.
Come on, one of these hasn't started.
His mind is the key to an adventure on the most fantastic hot rod in the universe. A story of a spaceship.
That flying saucer's first rate.
Be cool, dudes.
A friendship.
I'm gonna miss you.
I'm going to miss you, too.
And an experience beyond imagination.
Don't you want to take a turnpike?
I'm the Navigator.
Flight of the Navigator. Disney's new adventure fantasy.
Then what I'll do is I'll say, hey, Google, tell me about the movie Flight of the Navigator.
Flight of the Navigator is a 1986 movie directed by Randall Kleiser, starring Joey Kramer, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Paul Rubens.
And then, hey Google, give me the synopsis of Flight of the Navigator.
Here's the synopsis of Flight of the Navigator. This 1978 Disney adventure tells the story of 12-year-old David Joey Kramer, who lives with his family in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, when he awakens from being accidentally knocked out in the forest near his home. He finds that 8 years have passed. His family is overjoyed to have him back, but just as perplexed as he is by the fact that he hasn't aged. When a NASA scientist, Howard Hessman, discovers a UFO nearby, David gets the chance to unravel the mystery and recover the life he lost.
This is the part where I tell you that I have not seen it. And I can hear a lot of you getting upset with me, as you know, you maybe should be. This is just, let me set the stage for you. And I've already set the stage for you before, but I'm going to do it again because I can. At this point, I would have been 15 years old, a 15-year-old male. And, you know, I'm still into geeky, nerdy stuff. And I don't think adding, you know, watching a Walt Disney movie would have helped that, you know, nerdy, geeky rep that I already had. So there's really no reason for me to have seen this back when I was 15. And I have not made any time for it whatsoever. I've heard it's good, and I don't think that there's any reason not to go revisit it. In fact, just recently, my wife surprised me, and she committed us for a year of Disney Plus, so I might go in and see if it's there. But I've got so much other stuff that I want to watch. I've got so much other stuff, not just on Disney Plus, but on Netflix. The DVR is backed up with a whole bunch of programs that we hardly ever watch or that we haven't watched. So my wife and I really have to binge, like, you know, for a whole weekend in order to get caught up on stuff on the DVR. I'm like 3 episodes behind on Walking Dead. I don't see me making time for Flight of the Navigator. I just don't. I've heard it's good. I have. I've got nothing. I've got absolutely nothing. I know that I'm pretty sure that Paul Rubens is the voice of something, which is Pee Wee Herman to most of you. I didn't even know Sarah Jessica Parker was in it until I just looked at the bio here on Rotten Tomatoes and just heard that on my Google device. So I didn't even know she was in it, which gives me another reason to kind of be mad at myself for not having seen it. So you know what? I mean, sure. Maybe one of these days when I get kind of caught up on everything else and I have the thought process in my brain to say, hey, I'm going to watch it. Maybe I do, you know, maybe I make the time for it, but you know, this is one of those movies that as I was going through and counting the ones that were coming up that I haven't seen, I was truthful about it. I counted it. I said, you know, this is one of the 30 odd that I hadn't seen, that I knew that, would be difficult to talk about, you know, because I hadn't seen it. And I think I may have maybe not represented that I had seen it, but I had gotten quiet when the conversation had come around about talking about it, because and that sometimes that's my move. Sometimes that's my move, is I will kind of be quiet and let those that have something to discuss, you know, their thought processes on, you know, this movie or you know whatever movie it is or TV show or song, and just let them kind of go on. And I don't necessarily represent that I have seen it, but then again, I don't really declare it either to say I haven't seen it. So I don't think I've actually went online and said I declare I have not seen Flight of the Navigator. This is me saying that now. But I think that, you know, it may cause a lot of backlash for those that have considered this a beloved movie to go, what the fuck, Dave? Come on. You know, why haven't you seen this? And this goes back to the other thing that I had talked about on, you know, episodes previously. You know, it's one of those things where I think everybody has a check mark on their mind that they've seen the movie, but then I don't hear a lot of them saying that they revisit this on multiple occasions. Like, have you seen it? You know, let's say you're my age or you're Scott's age. You know, we're in our late 40s, early 50s. How many times have you revisited this movie since its release? Yeah, that's the question of the day. You know, Flight of the Navigator, is that one of those things that you're watching every year? Is it something you've introduced to your kids? You know, that if you have kids, these are things that, you know, I'm curious about, you know, and sure, I'd like to make time for it, but it's, you know, on a long laundry list of other things that I need to watch, and it may not happen. I'm just being brutally honest with you. That's all I got. I don't think the premise is too far off from movies that I have enjoyed in the past. You know, I like a good, you know, kid sci-fi kind of a thing. But like I said, I just haven't made time for this one. Hopefully you still respect me and, you know, you'll call me, you know, and, we can, you know, still be, you know, a couple. You know, hopefully you're not breaking up with me because of this. I hope this isn't one of those breakup offenses. Because, you know, I love you. And I'd hate to lose you over this. So please, please don't drop me. I'm sounding kind of needy now. And don't just say that you're going to call me and then not call me. Because that'll hurt my feelings. But call me, please. Pretty please. I'll wait by the phone. You have my number, don't you? Please? Please call me? All right. Well, with all that said, let's go ahead and wrap this one up with a pretty little bow. Once again, I'm Dave, Banzai Retro Club. You can find all of our stuff on BanzaiRetroClub.com. That's BANZAI. You'll find links to our social media, which is like our Twitter, our Facebook, Instagram, those are the ones that I really recommend that you follow us on and interact with us. We'd really appreciate it. You want us to drop us an email, that's at mcfly@bonsairetroclub.com. You know, if you've got like one of those iDevices, be it iPhone, iPad, whatever, you know, go ahead and give us a rating review and subscribe to the podcast. For those on the Podbean app, we are really digging what you guys are doing, so please continue to follow us. If you wish to leave us some comments, then please go ahead and do that. We'd really love to hear from you. And with all of that, I do want to remind everybody to be excellent to each other and have a good whatever. Bye-bye.
This has been a Banzai Retro Club production.
Banzai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Banzai!
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 On the next episode, we're going to be talking about Stripes, 1981.